Welcome back to the In the Dugout podcast. My name is Jason Ward alongside Joey Nagel and Will McNamara. How are we feeling on this Monday?
Vibes are high.
Pretty good.
Vibes, once again, are high. However, Pablo Reyes has been DFA'd and Red Sox Nation is freaking out. My followers, they're going crazy right now. I did not know that Pablo Reyes was loved this much in Red Sox Nation, but he's gone.
He's a glue guy.
Yeah, was.
Was.
Was a glue guy.
Because he hit that one walk-off grand slam.
To be fair, that was a top 10 moment of my life.
That was sick.
Yeah.
It was sick.
No, but this guy's like, we get rid of a super underrated player. Rip Pablo Reyes, I love you.
I mean.
And people are in all caps talking about this. What was he, Ben? 184?
Yeah.
You hit a ground ball to him, goes right through his legs.
I don't know where all the love's coming from.
He's funny. Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's not that great at baseball.
No.
Which is what we kind of pay him for.
Yeah.
Yeah, 29 OPS plus. I mean, although he wouldn't have been my first pick to go. If we want to break it down right now, I don't really understand it.
I don't want to break it down right now.
That's fine.
I was going to transition into Tyler O'Neill because he is good at baseball, really good. And I think that all Red Sox fans can agree that Tyler O'Neill is the most exciting thing in Red Sox baseball right now. He
absolutely
does not stop hitting home runs. He gets concussed and then comes back out and just boom, home run again, like he never stopped. And that's what we were concerned about. Joey, you talked about how baseball concussions can be bad. Brock Holt struggled. Anthony Rizzo struggled after coming back from them for the whole season and beyond that. So seeing Tyler O'Neill come back and just start mashing again, pick up where he left off, huge. Because, I mean, this season, Tyler O'Neill is the face of this season so far. And the best free agent pickup, I think, out of all the free agents. The most underrated. Obviously, he wasn't the biggest name, but he has been destroying baseballs. Solo shots only, really, but destroying baseballs. We'll get into all that. We have some baseball to talk about here. Guardians series and Giants. Not the Giants, Cubs. Why'd I write Giants? We're playing the Giants tomorrow. We played the Cubs the past few days here. So Guardians series. I'm sick of the Guardians, let me tell you. Playing them twice in 2 weeks, just too much Guardians for me. We lost 2 out of 3 in that series, only winning one game. Didn't get swept. That's always good. I don't like getting swept, and we didn't, so happy about that.
Could have won 2 out of 3 in that one.
For sure. Definitely could have if it wasn't for Chase Anderson, but we'll get to it.
If it wasn't for Reese McGuire not catching the baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's in his name, catcher. Like, you kind of want him to catch the baseball, but
He had quite a bad game in that third one. He had, like, 7 errors.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a catcher, that's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
It's not what you're looking for at all. And it's tough, too, because he'd been playing well, better defensively. Like, he's not known for being a defensive catcher, but to start of the season, he'd been pretty solid. So having a game like that's rough. But what can you do? So jumping into game one, Willy Abreu just, again, that guy is on fire. He had a solo shot in that game. Rob Refsnyder, I called them the Boston Ref Sox because when he came back from the IL and just started hitting righties, lefties, everybody out there, doesn't matter who they put on the mound, he was hitting them. He went 3 for 3 in that game. Tanner Houck had a shutout until the 7th, and then he just kind of lost control. But it doesn't matter because we only scored 1 run, so that's not really going to help you. So you lose that game 4-1. Pretty uneventful. It's just kind of like a loss. Nothing too special about it.
It was just such a typical.
Did they make an error in that game, though?
In game one?
Yeah, I don't think so, right?
They might not have made an error, but it's so typical of them to have a starter go out and shove once again.
Yeah.
And no run support.
Yeah.
I thought Houck could push a few more runs across for him.
I thought Houck was going to go the distance again.
I joked about it on the podcast. Like, what if he goes back-to-back complete game shutouts? And then he goes into the 7th inning with a shutout. I'm like, no way. No way he's going to do it. But then he kind of falls apart. You can't get him every time, you know?
Yeah, you can't be mad about it either because They did kind of push him a little too far. Probably would have been better coming off of career high in pitches to just take your sixth shot and go to the pen. But also, our pen guys who are normally good aren't good right now. So I understand the decision. It sucks that it went that way. And ultimately, the offense got to do more in that game. Especially like Ref Snyder goes 3 for 3 at the top of the lineup. Willier goes deep again. You'd think that you'd score more than one run, but
Sounds like a game we would have put up a few numbers.
yeah, you'd think, but I get it. I'm pretty sure those were the only guys who did anything for the offense in that one.
To be fair, though, Rafael Devers was still out for this game. He was supposed to return
That's
and
right.
didn't. So you were missing him. That was Tyler O'Neill's first game back at DH. So he got a hit. He also struck out 2 times. So he was kind of getting acclimated back into things. But then I think the pieces kind of clicked in game two here. Because they had 16 hits, 8 runs, and an 8-0 shutout victory. Connor Wong? 2 home runs and 4 hits in that game. Wong Dong City. Wong Dong's everywhere. I don't know what happened to Connor Wong, but I believe he's second in home runs for the Red Sox. Maybe third. Cannot stop hitting home runs. So he is third behind O'Neill and Casas. Casas is out for a while, so I think he'll jump into that number two spot pretty quickly. Connor Wong, your catcher, is not the guy that I thought would be that high up in the Red Sox home run list, especially when he was kind of starting to lose the job in a way because Reese McGuire was hitting, and so he was starting to get more starts. But right now, you have both your catchers hitting. Connor Wong, not only is he hitting home runs, he's also just hitting in general. He's batting 343, 5 homers, 13 RBIs, 948 OPS from your catcher. That's huge. That's not at all what I expected from Connor Wong, but if he can continue that, obviously I don't think he's going to continue at this pace. Like, he's going to cool off at some point, but the fact that he's hitting like that at all right now, a lot of catchers around the league, like, look at what Christian Vasquez was many seasons, Sandy Leon, 5 home runs, that could be what they have all season, and he's already got that this short into the season. So yeah, Connor Wong, give him all the love in the world.
Is this going to be the year that Connor Wong randomly hits like 25 home runs like Vasquez did in 2019?
Every catcher
Looking
seems
like
to do
it.
it.
He's looking like it.
Could be the one.
Same way, like Sandy Leon randomly had a season where he hit like 320. What if
Yeah.
Wong just puts both of those together? I mean, that's what he's on pace to do this year.
What
I
if he
mean,
just
I just
sneaks
kind of
into the
love it.
All-Star game?
I kind of love it. I
I
mean,
kind of love him.
he's showing up at the right time, especially when guys are starting to go down. Like, he's actually trying to step up into that role. I mean, he's been here for a few years fighting for playing time. Like, he knows when to put in the fight, and he is doing it at the right time right now because we need offensive weapons, and he is really stepping up for us.
They're not cheap home runs too. Like, he's crushing
No,
some of these balls.
he is hammering baseballs.
Yeah, you'll love to see it. So yeah, he had a 4-hit game. Another guy with a 4-hit game, Willier Abreu, a guy that we thought should be going down to AAA a couple weeks ago, and now he's our best offensive player. Maybe
He's
outside
such a
O'Neill,
dude.
whatever, but he is
Red
a dude.
hot.
There's
He's
so
such a
many things to
dude.
like about Willier Abreu. So he has a 4-hit game in this one, and I mean, last night he made a great play in the outfield again. His defense has been outstanding in right field. Like, you're replacing Alex Verdugo, who was one of the better right fielders defensively in the game last year, and he's bringing the same defense with a better arm. You gotta love that from Willier Abreu. And when you're playing good defense and then you start hitting too, now you're a complete player. And he's given the Red Sox, he's starting to live up to all the hype that was around his name this offseason when everyone was talking about, oh, we need to get a outfielder. And they're like, no, we got Willier Abreu. Willier Abreu is our right fielder. Now he's playing like it, and I love it. He's fun to watch. He cares. He's got energy. He makes those catches, and he's out there yelling. Willier Abreu is probably my favorite Red Sox player to watch right now.
Absolutely. I love his swing. I love
That too.
how it's very fluid but also very violent. Like when he really, I love that he's not afraid to swing out of his shoes, and when he does, he
Unloads.
lets loose. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Once if he makes contact with that, it's going no less than 450.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with Wong too. Like, it's not just power. He's getting on base. He He's been great drawing walks lately too. Obviously, the four-hit game, you're getting on base plenty in that. So just he's becoming more complete, like I said, and you gotta love that. Rafael Devers returns from the IL, goes deep and has 3 hits in his return. How you doing? He was cold because of the injury. Really, to start the season, he hit that home run in Seattle, and it was just a slew of different injuries, the shoulder, the leg, whatever, and he was not really himself. It looked like he wasn't really swinging like he normally would because he has a very violent swing, and so if you're not healthy, that's not really going to be the same. But he comes back, and he has looked like himself and more since returning from the IL. We'll get into more later, but since returning from the injured list, he's 9 for 20, which is a .450 average with 14 total bases and 5 runs, had the home run in that game. When Rafael Devers is hitting, the Red Sox lineup's going to be hitting because he is the key piece in that lineup, the face of your franchise, as everyone knows. And it's huge that he's back and huge that he's hitting.
Yeah, it's
I
clear that
mean,
he's healthy too. He looks completely different at the plate. He's willing to swing more freely again. It's nice to see. I feel like this happens it happens every year where Devers will get banged up. He'll play through it. You can tell that something's wrong. And then one day he'll just snap out of it. He'll look healthy again. Wakes up feeling good, probably has a couple pancakes and hits some bombs.
it's just he finally is starting to catch his stride. I mean, we knew he would when he started off slow like this. We knew he was hurt. We knew he wasn't swinging like he used to because he had problems with his shoulder, with his legs. But he finally looks like he used to. He's starting to hit. And we talked about it on one of the podcasts. It was 2 or 3 episodes ago. He is our whole offense. Like, the offense revolves around him. So when he comes back and now he's actually looking like himself, this is why we're seeing Wong with 4 hits, Abreu with 4 hits. These guys are hitting around him. He's starting to help out. The offense is starting to pick up, and now we're seeing us actually score runs. In
Yeah,
the
I mean,
game
he takes
before,
the
where he's not
pressure
here, we
off.
score one. He takes the pressure off the rest of the lineup because you know he's going to go out there and put up at least a quality at bat.
Yeah, I've talked a lot on this show about the importance of plate presence and having a hitter up there who is going to draw a good at bat, make the pitcher work, and also has the ability to hit the ball in any part of the ballpark and out of the ballpark. That's what Rafael Devers is. And that's what this lineup needs. Like you said, Will, when you have him in the lineup, it makes everybody else better. And when he's hitting in the lineup, it makes everybody else better, and you score runs on top of that from him himself. So you need him going, and the fact that he is going is just great for this team. I'm very happy he's back. And also, by the way, Cooper Criswell, 5 shutout innings in that game. Guy who stepped up with a lot of injuries in the rotation. We'll get to Brian Baio being out, but you have Brian Baio out, Nick Pivetta out. Who am I forgetting?
Whitlock.
Whitlock out. Yep. Obviously, Giolito out too.
Giolito.
So having a guy like Criswell step up and throw 5 shutout innings and have a sub-3 ERA this season, fantastic. He's tall too. Guy is a
He was
tower on the
wearing a
mound.
turtleneck for that game, and it made him
Yeah.
look like he had the longest neck in the world. That was the
Yeah.
only thing I could focus on, was just how comically long his neck was
It
with
was
that.
funny. You had a giraffe out there on the mound. I'll take it though. Better than Chase Anderson. Game 3, Chase Anderson gives up 5 runs, 3 walks, and an inning and 2/3.
Yeah, no, bad. That
Oh, I thought you
curse
were about
is
to
like
defend
not
him.
characteristically
entirely his fault,
bad.
though. Oh, there it
The
is.
thing
Yeah,
is,
you are.
that's just very uncharacteristically bad, and I think it's just the start for him.
Well, I was
When
gonna say,
he's,
was that his first actual start? Because he'd been out of the
I think it
bullpen. Yeah.
was.
Yeah. Maybe
Like,
it's a Nick Pivetta situation where he needs to come out of the pen.
he's got to come out of the pen. I mean, that was
Yeah.
just really, really bad.
I mean,
There's
Chase
no other
Anderson
words
is what
for
it
it.
is, though.
Yeah.
He's nothing special. Like, he reminds me a lot of Hector Velasquez. Just a guy who's
Ooh.
like not, he'll give you multiple innings. He's nothing special. He can spot start every once in a while, but ultimately, he's just your mop-up guy in the pen. You know, you throw him out there when you need somebody to get outs in a blowout. Like, He was doing it against the A's earlier in the year. Like, that is the perfect role for him, where he can just go 3 innings, with an 8-run lead and just, get us to the end of the game. And that's what he is. The fact that he's starting games for you is a problem. But it shows, like, the only reason it's happening is because 60% of your rotation is hurt.
Yeah.
80% if you count Giolito. But it's whatever. That Grand Slam sucked because Reese McGuire needs to catch the ball, and that doesn't happen. For anyone who doesn't know, two strikes, two outs, bases loaded. He had only given up one run at that point. Jose Ramirez foul tips the ball, strike into Reese McGuire's mitt. Like, it was right there, and he
In his
dropped it.
hand. Yep.
He forgot to close the mitt. Like, what are we doing here? And then right away, Grand Slam ruins the game. This game really frustrated me too, because the offense actually started to claw back. I thought we were going to have, like, our first real good comeback win of the season,
Yeah.
but that's
I
what
was
happens
about to
when you
make
dig
that.
yourself in a hole too early. It doesn't work. It doesn't work out.
I was about to make that point, actually, Joe, because that was the one thing that I liked about this game. Because the Red Sox teams of the past couple of years, they go down 5-0 early, game's over. They're shutting down. The offense is going to put up two hits for the rest of the game, and this game, you can already call it. They actually tried. They fought back. They showed energy the entire game, and they almost, went and got it done. It was at least kind of comforting to see that this team has a little bit of fight in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game that you'd probably win most of the time because what you talked about, Joey, is important. Like, that's not something to just brush off. Is if Reese didn't make the mistake there and that grand slam never happened, that five earned runs is one earned run. And I mean, who knows what happened after that? But still, like, it would have been a different game. Plus, it's Jose Ramirez, one of the best players in the game too. So, yeah, I probably should give Chase Anderson some more leeway because that's not fully. It's not the
He wasn't
worst,
good.
but
I'm not saying he was
he
good at
wasn't
all.
good, but
No.
it could have it kind of ended up being the worst it could have been. So,
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, Reese McGuire had two errors that game. And I would charge him with an error for dropping that third strike.
Yeah.
Also, that second insurance run, the sixth run for Cleveland, was so big at the time. That was a real momentum killer. And that was given up by Chris Martin. And it was on that wild, or it was a pass ball, actually. Runner was stealing. Reese McGuire leaves his crouch too early, gets by him. So he actually had two errors, two throwing errors, a pass ball, and a dropped third strike in that game. Not a good day.
Yeah,
But
that's a
also,
bad one.
Chris Martin wasn't covering the plate, which allowed the run to score. And then Reese McGuire just flipped the ball to no one. He just rolled it out into the field to allow the runners to allow Josh Naylor to advance it from first to third on that play. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
Can't happen.
very, very winnable game that you kind of beat yourself in a way. Talking about the offense, though, Raffy did have three hits in that game. Ref Snyder, two hits and a triple. Triples all over the place this season. It feels like everyone's getting triples these days. Yeah, so you lose two out of three to the Guardians. You easily could have won the series and won two out of three. It's whatever. You didn't play that bad. That middle game, I think, is the most encouraging thing. The 16 hits, 8 runs, Raffy back in the lineup, the 2 4-hit games. Like, that really gets you feeling good about the Sox as you go back to Fenway. I was very excited for this Cubs series. When the Cubs and the Red Sox are playing at Fenway Park, it feels just like classic
It's
baseball.
fun.
Game one, too, you have the pitching matchup of two guys with the ERA under one, Cutter Crawford and Imanaga. Is that how you say it?
Imanaga.
Imanaga.
Imanaga? Yeah. Unfortunately, though, Cutter kind of lost that pitching battle. That was his first bad start of the season, really. And it wasn't even terrible. Like, if that's the worst start he's gonna have, you're doing okay. I think that was a quote that he had or someone had, maybe Cora. 6 innings still, with 10 hits allowed, 4 runs, 3 of them earned. So not great, but not terrible. On the offensive side, Tyler O'Neill had a home run because that's all he does. And then Jolie Rodriguez was bad. Surprise, surprise. Gave up 3 runs, but great news on that front. Jolie Rodriguez has been DFA'd. See you later.
Happy days.
Makes It's just such good news.
you feel good. Makes you feel good that he's gone. Hopefully forever.
Yeah, it's very possible that he just gets outrighted to AAA and then somehow
Well, no one else
makes.
is gonna want him.
Exactly. That's.
Yeah.
It's like
Yeah.
what happened with Brazier when we DFA'd him. We're like, bye bye, Brazier. He's finally gone. He goes to AAA and comes back up like a month later.
Sucks that Brazier's like nasty now too.
Yeah. I'd rather have Ryan Brazier than Jolie Rodriguez, though.
Ryan Brazier would
Oh
have a
yeah,
0 ERA
easily.
if
With
Andrew
Andrew
Bailey
Bailey
had
as his pitching
always
coach,
been, yeah.
he'd win a Cy Young in the bullpen. Be
Agree.
crazy. But whatever. Jolie's gone. It's so satisfying to me when a dude that we don't like goes out there, has a bad outing, and then just gets DFA'd. Like, it's just, yep, nope, you're bad. See ya. Get out of here.
Gone.
So satisfying. I love it when it's like a dude comes up from like AAA and they just need a guy to eat innings, and he comes up, throws like 60 pitches, gives up 6 runs, and gets DFA'd like an hour later. It's so
Like Joe Jake.
funny. Joe Jocks,
We didn't
Jake
even talk
Swagger,
about
yeah.
that. I'm
Oh, he's
actually
irrelevant.
happier. I'm happier to see Joe Jakes go than Jolie Rodriguez because Joe Jakes is the king of slop. From the left side, he's just pumping 91 right over the middle of the plate, getting banged around the yard.
Yeah, I could get a hit off him.
All of these additions by subtraction this past week for the Red Sox is pretty good.
I was thinking about that coming
Honestly,
into
I
this
can't
show.
complain.
I
I
mean,
mean,
a lot of dead weight.
yeah.
yeah.
Joe Jakes is gone. Jolie Rodriguez is gone. Pablo Reyes is gone. It's fantastic. And you're getting good guys to fill in too. Like Vaughn Grissom is coming back up tomorrow, or coming up for the first time. First time seeing him in a Red Sox uniform, which is gonna be great. Cam Boozer's been a good addition to the bullpen over some of these other guys we're talking about. So yeah, I like how the Red Sox, in a way, are getting better by
Getting rid
addition
of
by
bad
subtraction. Yeah.
players. It's amazing how much better you can be when you get rid of players who are bad.
Really is. Really
And
is.
you think
And
about how much
replace
better
them
we
with
could
players
be
who are
because we still
better.
have a lot of bad players on this team.
Yeah, you got a few left to get rid of.
Yeah. I was going to save this for later, but I never, ever, 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 ever want to see David Hamilton or Emmanuel Valdez again. I just can't. Like, to have the Juan Soto batting stance and to suck this
And
bad
to
is
be
just like,
that bad.
what are we
You know what
doing?
that's like? It's like on MLB The Show when it's like a random player and they like just assigned a random batting stance and then they put Juan Soto. That's what it's like. You gotta do it in like double A with Juan Soto's batting stance and he doesn't hit. Like it
Yeah,
doesn't work.
Joe Random with the Kevin Youkilis stance.
Exactly. Every
Yeah.
time Emmanuel Valdez comes up to the plate, I look at him in his stance, I'm like, this dude is about to go 450 dead center. Like just based on how he looks at the plate in that stance. And then I remember it's Valdez and he strikes out at like a ball in his shoes.
Yeah, you gotta. He looks like if the batting stance guy made it to the major leagues.
Yeah. I wish he was better because he's got the stance for it. He's got the kind of aura for it, but he's just not better. He's not.
Exactly. It's like the Isaiah Campbell mustache. Like,
You want
if
him to
you're
be good.
going good, you look really cool, but if you
Yeah.
suck, then you look like an absolute dweeb.
Yeah. Better comparison. It's like the kid in like Little League who has like the craziest like batting stance and then he just sucks.
Yeah.
It's like he's up there doing like the Mike Avilas, just like whipping the bat back and forth, like and you're like, "Oh my God, this guy about to hit a homer in Little League. What are we doing?" And then he looks like an idiot. It doesn't help that he can't field either. Like if Valdez could
He
field,
definitely
you could
cannot
put
do
up with
that.
it, but he definitely could not do that.
Him and David Hamilton are in an intense battle for who is the worst baseball player.
I give it to
Because
Hamilton.
David Hamilton just can't step on bases. They're huge.
Yeah.
It's
They
like,
got bigger too.
yeah.
It's the size of a pizza box. How are you missing that?
Beats me.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's wild. But honestly, it's in my mind, it's not even that much of a race. David Hamilton is terrible at baseball.
He's so bad.
Like Valdez obviously isn't that much better, but Valdez has been slightly better than he has been in the past in the field, slightly. David Hamilton just gives me nothing on any side of the ball. He's fast, cool. There's plenty of fast people, but they work for like
He's
UPS
fast, but
and
he
bring
can't
packages
step
to
on
doors.
bases. So what's the point?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He can
He
get to the
missed
base as
first
fast as you
base the
want, but he
last
needs to
week.
touch it.
Maybe someone should tell him that in baseball, you actually have to step on the base. It's not like an obstacle course where you have to avoid it.
I don't know. I've said it before, and I believe it so strongly. I don't think he knew what baseball was like 3 years ago, and someone was like, "Hey, you're fast. Give this a shot." And he just doesn't know how to play.
Yeah.
I'm
There are
convinced.
definitely some rules he doesn't know about.
Yeah. If I ever see him in public, I'll quiz him about rules.
How many bases are you supposed to touch when you get a double? And he's like, none of them, right? No. Red Sox win game two, 17 to nothing. I am very sad I didn't watch this game. Very sad. Very upset because it was pretty cool. 17 runs scored and 0 runs allowed. I don't think it gets better than that against the
I
Cubs,
just
too.
have, I have no idea where this game came from.
There's just so much that happened in this. This, like, if you had never watched the Red Sox before and you turn on this game, you'd think they're the best team all time. Like, this game was absurd. Our
This week
nine
was
hitter,
really good for the run differential.
it was our nine hitter, Sadan Rafaela, 4 for 4 with a home run and 7 RBIs in the nine hole. That doesn't happen. That's crazy. Bobby Dalbec, Bobby Robert. Vernon Dalbec, 2 hits, 3 RBIs.
He's hot.
Crazy.
He's hot
He's
right
getting
now.
hot.
Masataka Yoshida, like risen from the dead. We haven't seen him in weeks. He comes out with 4 hits. Tyler O'Neill had a home run. Of course he did. 3 hits, 2 RBIs. That's typical. 21 total hits. That's a lot of hits. On the pitching side, Winkowski started that game, 3 shutout innings. Bernardino shutout inning. Slayton 2 shut. Boozer 2 shut. Who's our closer in that game? Pablo Reyes.
That sucks.
But like this is like the epitome of like the best baseball game a team can play. Like, it's just
If you could
fantastic.
win 17-0 every day, that would be really cool.
It would be ideal. They should try to do that.
They should, you know, they
Yeah, I
should
feel like
run the
that's kind of the
17
goal.
run play more.
I don't know why they didn't think of that. 2 touchdowns
Mean,
and a field goal.
that's a football score right there.
Big time.
Yep.
Now that one was just all around great Sox baseball. There's really not much else to it. Bats were
That's what
hot, arms were hot, fielding was fielding.
gets you though, is 'cause you see games like that and you're like, this is what this team could be capable of.
It's the
But then they
most
just
confusing team of all time. Like
It really
it
I feel
makes
like it's
no
so Red
sense.
Sox to win a game 17 to nothing. Like, I feel like they do that often, even when they're bad. The past 3 seasons, they'll have games like this where they'll just score a ton of runs and pitch really well. And then they have other games where they can't even field a baseball and they give up a bunch of runs and don't score anything. I don't know how a team can be this like bipolar and just all over the place, but yet here we are. It's the Red
They've done it
Sox.
in the past before where they will
Yeah.
score 20 runs and then lose the series because they'll get shut
Yeah.
out the next two. Like I was sold on them losing on Sunday. I thought there was no chance they were going to win this series.
Yeah.
And it would be like they get blown out game one, but then they absolutely destroy them game two and then lose game three. But like they scored 10 more runs in the series than the Cubs, but they lose the series. Like I was sold that was going to happen.
It's just so random. Like, it you'd understand if like the Braves did this. Like, you have a bunch of really talented baseball players in that lineup, and one day they're just all going to click together. Most of the other days it'll be a couple of them and they're going to be scoring a lot of runs. But then the Red Sox, like, it's just they're so all over the place. And even the game against Cleveland where they scored 8 runs on 16 hits and shut them out. Like, they did a similar thing in both series in the middle game where they scored a bunch of runs, got a bunch of hits, and then shut out the other team. Like, that happened twice. I don't I if you can do that every series, fantastic. But I don't know where it came from, like we said. Fun though. Very fun. Fun to watch. Also, that 7 RBI game put Rafaela in the lead for Red Sox RBIs, which I
Yeah,
did not know.
that's so
that's
weird.
just
It's because we're hitting
crazy.
so many solo homers.
Yeah, you'd think it should be like Tyler O'Neill, but
You'd
he
think
only hits
somebody
solo
would have
shots.
like 20, 25 RBI, but the Devers injury mixed with Tyler O'Neill being allergic to hitting multi-run homers is the reason why. He broke that actually.
He did.
Yeah. Good for him.
And then we won 17-0 in the game that he did that. So
Yeah, see what
obviously,
happens. Do it
see
again.
what happens when you hit homers with guys on base.
The Red Sox RBI leader list is wild. It's Rafael at number one with 17. Next closest is Duran with 13, and then Connor Wong with 13. Those are your top three.
That's so weird. That's stupid.
Coming into the season, if you asked me to pick who like the top three would be in RBIs at this point in the season, none of those names would even come to mind. That's wild. I'll take it though. Cool, I guess, because I mean, you know that Devers is gonna start driving in guys, and I assume O'Neill is gonna drive in guys more too. Yoshida, if Cora actually lets him play. So you got those RBI guys. I miss Casas a lot. That makes me really sad. I think about that often. How?
Yeah, 60 day, not
Yeah.
great. He was he. Did you see the clip of him explaining his injury?
I didn't see the clip, but I saw the quote where he's like, "It's whatever
It's a
he said. I
car
don't even
crash in
remember.
my body.
Cartilage. Yeah, it was like a car crash. Yeah."
Yeah, they. That's so weird how he said that this injury was a product. The doctor asked him if he had experienced any trauma to the chest because this is an injury like only seen in car crash victims. And he was like, no.
He just swings so violent, I guess.
That's what he said. He said, I
Yeah.
just swing so violent that I guess it's like a car crash in my body.
That's pretty cool, actually, though.
It is pretty
Like,
cool.
that is pretty
I hit
cool.
baseball so hard, it's like a car crash.
He just rips his ribs apart.
Yeah. I mean, bad for us, but cool to say. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah.
I mashed baseball so hard, it blew my ribs up. Just ruined them. But yeah, I miss him.
Just fell off the bone like some barbecue.
Yeah. Anyways, game three against the Cubs. Interesting game. Hauk, Tanner Hauk. Oh my goodness, incredible. 6 2/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 0 walks, 9 strikeouts. He's pitching like an ace. There's no doubt about it. I just saw a quote on Twitter from Tanner Houck's best friend saying how when he pitches into the sixth, seventh inning like that and gets through the order multiple times, which he couldn't do before, that's the type of stuff that an ace does, which is true. And his friend said that he's going to win multiple Cy Youngs with the Red Sox. I hope that's true. I hope he wins the Cy Young this year. That'd be really cool. But regardless, he's pitching incredible at a time where we need him to pitch incredible. I love watching Tanner Houck pitch. His slider has added like 5 inches of movement too. So that thing is slanging even more than it was. I love Tanner Houck.
Me too. It's crazy that
we need to keep him safe.
Hauk wasn't even in the rotation in spring training.
Yeah, he was gonna be in the bullpen. We talked about him being the closer.
Yeah, I said this last night. Screw all that. I never want to see him in the bullpen again. He is a starter. He is an ace. I read the numbers last week about his third time through the order, how it's actually now his best time
Yeah.
through the order, which is crazy. He's consistently working into the seventh inning now. Amazing. He is growing right in front of our eyes, and he is becoming more than we ever could have thought he would be. So it is just like, this is amazing. This is so awesome to see. I hope he keeps it up. And the way that he looks, how he's so poised on the mat, he looks bored when he pitches. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
He's like just chewing his gum, bobbing his head.
I
He's
was gonna
like,
bring that up, because he
yeah.
just looks so calm and confident on the mound. That's one of the things that energizes me the most. When I see him out there and he just looks in control, that is huge from a pitcher. I mean, as Red Sox fans, we've seen plenty of pitchers who go out there and just look scared to be out there. And I think of Drew Pomeranz towards the end of his Red Sox tenure, where he just looks sad to be out there. Versus Tanner Houck, he's just out there playing catch and just having a good time. And that's the demeanor that you want from your starting pitcher and a potential future ace. So I love that all across the board. Tanner Houck, I
Get that
talked about,
extension done.
yeah, right now, please give him all the money he
Yeah.
wants immediately. I talked about Willy Abreu being my favorite player to watch in the lineup. Tanner Houck is without a doubt my favorite pitcher to watch. Every time that I see him slated to pitch, I'm like, tonight's gonna be a good night. Whether we win
Yeah.
or lose, even either way, just watching him pitch is just fun.
It's so amazing what a pitching coach can do.
Yeah, it's just Andrew Bailey. If a coach could win MVP, Andrew Bailey would win that easily. The way that he's affected this
Absolutely.
team and improved the pitching staff, it deserves all the credit and it needs an award. Give him manager of the year, even though he's not the manager. Give him something. Already, right now. We don't even need the season to end. Give it to him now. But anyways, rest of that game, like I said, Chris Martin, is he bad now? Maybe. People are talking about it. 3-run home run he gives up in the eighth to make it a tie game. Not what you want. You're up 4-1 at that point. And you're thinking, all right, we got one of the best relief pitchers in the game, Chris Martin. You put him in, keep it to a 3-run lead. You do Kenley in the ninth, easy win. That's how it should be. But unfortunately, Chris Martin gives up the 3-run homer and you're tied. I thought we were going to lose that game fully. I think we texted in the group chat. I thought that that game was over. The second that the Red Sox go into extra innings, nothing good happens. But thankfully, it didn't make it to extra innings. Thanks to Duran getting on base, Devers getting a hit, and then Tyler O'Neill with a sky-high pop-up that the Cubs could not field, ruled a single. Duran scores. Red Sox win on the walk-off. Great, great win. If you lost that game, I think it would totally change the energy from that series. But it changes it from a series where you lose 2 out of 3 to you win 2 out of 3, including a 17-run win. So you feel great coming out of that series now. I think that was a huge win in multiple ways.
It was a
Yeah,
huge win. It
absolutely.
was just such a weird win.
Definitely weird, but a win's a win.
Good for the
Absolutely.
vibes,
Yeah. Oh
though.
yeah, we'll take them anyway we can get them. But like
I'm
just the
just so
thought that we
happy another
almost
game
blew
didn't go to
that.
extras. I hate extras.
Yeah, I did not want extra innings in that.
We were this close to sending that thing to extras and that game is over.
If that went to extra innings, it doesn't matter. We would have lost.
The Cubs would have scored like 8 runs in the top of
Yeah.
the. You would have lost that game 11-4.
Yeah.
But, shout out Jarren Duran for a 2-run triple, by the way. I was talking about triples being everywhere, and he had one. I feel like he's going to keep getting them because of how fast he is.
He's so fast.
Yeah, maybe guys like Jarren Duran shouldn't be getting triples. A triple for him should be an inside the parker. Like, honestly, just
Yeah.
lazy on his part. How about you run?
It's
He
funny
keeps hitting
because,
balls out in the triangle and he's
yeah.
just jogging. Like,
The second
come
I saw
on.
the ball go to the triangle, I like looked away for a second and I didn't even have to see to know that he was going to be at third base. Like I just assumed he would be there. And sure enough, he was. He's
I
going to push
assumed he
those to
would
go home.
score.
He's going to get an inside the park home run soon. It's going to
Has to.
happen. Yeah.
Speaking of inside the parkers, do you remember when Devers had an inside the parker in the playoffs?
That was wild.
I was there. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Love me a good inside the parker. So Duran should do it. I feel like if
I feel like
anyone
Connor
on this
Wong.
team is going to hit an inside the park home run, it's not going to be Duran, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like Connor Wong will stumble his way into one.
I could see that. I could see
Yeah.
that. Imagine a little Yoshida one. The center fielder would have to die.
Yeah. I think, I mean,
He'd
this
be
is not a
high
hot
stepping
take.
around the bases.
Raffaello would do it for sure.
Yeah. I
But
see
that's
that.
easy. Speaking of Connor Wong, by the way, he had 2 hits and 2 RBIs in that game as well. Devers 2 hits, 2 walks. Walks are fun. Get on base. Love on base percentages. So yeah, you win that one you win the series 2 out of the 3 games. So you split the series that we're talking about here. 'Cause 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3 makes it 3 out of 6. So you go 500 since our last episode. That's good. I like that. Better
Average is
than
good.
not doing that, for sure.
Glad we don't have to play Cleveland anymore.
I do not want to see Cleveland for a while.
Well,
Cleveland
we don't
and
see them till next
Angels.
year.
Played too much
Yeah.
of Cleveland and the Angels.
Yeah, what's the deal with this schedule?
I like it now. We're in like a good spot now because playing the Cubs is fun.
The
It'll be cool
Giants
to see
is
the
fun too.
Giants, even though I'm a little scared of their pitching.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in a second. I want to bring up what we mentioned about Yoshida just kind of disappearing for a little bit because that was one of the weirdest things I've like ever seen from a baseball team. So starting in the Pittsburgh series, he started on the 19th and the 20th. He had a home run in the 20th. He had hits in both those games. He had two hits and a home run on the 20th. And then didn't play in the third game, which was odd. And then didn't play from that game, Saturday the 21st, until the 27th. So he missed the whole entire Cleveland series. And we were like, well, he pinch hit a little bit, but he didn't start. So that made it weirder. Because it's like, wait, he's not hurt. Why is he not playing? He pinch hit a little bit. There was one spot where Reese McGuire pinch hit instead of Yoshida. And that was odd. Like, why are we staying away from Yoshida? And then he comes back on the 27th and has four hits. So it was really weird. And Cora was asked about it because it was every day Yoshida was just not in the lineup, not in the lineup, not in the lineup. And we're like, what is going on here? So the reporters asked Cora about it, and he got defensive about it. He's like, Masataka Yoshida is the DH. Like, I try to be honest with you guys. Like, I tell you if something's up, blah, blah, blah. So weird. And now he's just kind of back in the lineup, and it hasn't been addressed. Part of the reasoning, I guess, was Devers coming back. Well, O'Neill coming back first and DHing to kind of ease his way back in. And then Devers coming back and doing the same thing and DHing. That was the three games in the Cleveland series. And Cora's reasoning was like, well, Yoshida's our DH, and tonight Devers is DHing. Or tonight O'Neill is DHing, so therefore Yoshida's not going to play. They are terrified for him to touch the field for some reason. His defense isn't that bad. Like, I'd rather have Yoshi in left field than Hamilton at shortstop. Like, they have no problem putting Hamilton and Valdez out there defensively, but they won't put Yoshida in the outfield. He's not that bad. I don't understand it, especially when you're paying him $18 million a year.
Yeah. It feels like so long ago that this saga was happening, but it even started to annoy me. Like, I know I was texting a lot about it, and it was just stupid every day to see that he's not in the lineup, and there's no reason behind it. We heard that he was getting upset about it. Yoshida was. But then,
understandably, you know, I would be upset too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're being paid $18 million to sit on the bench, like, sometimes pinch hit, but not routinely. It doesn't make any sense. It was such a weird situation. Cora was not being transparent about it at all, but claiming he was, said there was nothing wrong, but now we hear that there was something wrong. And then he comes back. It was really nice to see him get four hits. He looked really good. I'm pulling for him now. I know I've been very critical of him, but I do want to see him succeed. And it was nice that he came back and really stuck it to Cora by getting those four hits on Saturday.
Yeah, he proved that he can still hit. And even last night, he had a hit and two at-bats before he left after jamming his hand, I guess. So now he's hurt.
Yeah, this isn't good.
No.
They don't know whether or not they're going to have to do imaging on it, but I feel like this is just going to re-trigger this whole cycle. Especially with Grissom coming back, they're probably going to DH him for a game or two, you know, once a week, just to keep him, get him off his feet for a day. Like, this Yoshida thing might not be ending anytime soon, because now they'll use the wrist as an excuse to sit him. You know, that's why he's sitting. That's why the DH spot is going to Devers or Grissom, whoever's coming back. It's just such a weird situation, and I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we talk about, though, how Yoshida might be somewhat of a dead weight on this team, maybe doing a little more harm than good because he fills that DH spot and doesn't have the versatility to play in the field. But, I mean, again, like, I think that it's not going to ruin the team if they let him in the outfield a little bit.
Yeah. He wasn't terrible there last year. I know that he's nothing special, but, like, he can hold his own. He made all the routine plays last year. And I feel like that's all you can ask for out of a left fielder.
That's better than half the team. Making the routine plays, I'd love that. Yeah, it's so weird. It's such an odd situation. And you just let him play. Like, I'm starting to like Yoshida again. After the four-hit game, after him hitting, after being a pro about this whole thing and not, like, complaining and just kind of going out there and just getting back to work and hitting, I kind of feel bad for him. And I want to see him out there succeeding, because I got excited for him last season. I loved Masataka Yoshida last season. I got very excited when we signed him, so I want to see him out there succeeding. And I definitely don't want to see him riding the bench when he's making $18 million a year. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this progresses. It's something to watch, and I don't want this drama to continue because that was really – every day the lineup would come out, and everyone was talking about Yoshida's still not in there, still not in there, sitting again. It's just weird. So we'll see what happens. We kind of have some different moving pieces, though. You mentioned Grissom coming back tomorrow. We also acquired Garrett Cooper to play first base. So let's talk about these guys. First of all, I am very interested to see what Vaughn Grissom brings to the table here. We've talked about his defense being serviceable, like average. So that's a clear improvement from either Hamilton or Valdez. And he's been hitting in AAA so far in his rehab assignment. 333 average and 30 at-bats, so 10 hits and 30 at-bats, 844 OPS, 2 doubles, 5 walks, and also 2 stolen bases. So that's pretty promising. A lot of reporters have said that Vaughn Grissom, he's going to hit. Like, he's going to get on base. He's going to drive the ball around the ballpark. So that is a force that you definitely want in your lineup. Where do we think he's going to play? Because obviously, second base and shortstop are both pretty much wide open. Like, we don't really need to have either of those guys out there every day. He is a second baseman. He's better at second base, but he can play shortstop. And I don't see why they would want to keep Hamilton playing. But they do, so I don't know. I don't know where to put him.
I think it's pretty easy that he's going to play second base because you look to the future. He will be playing second base, whether it's Story or Meyer at shortstop. He is your second baseman. And I think his defense isn't anything special. He's average to slightly below average. But
I forgot about Rafaela. He's the shortstop. Vaughn Grissom's playing second base. Sorry.
There you go.
I totally forgot that. Corey even said it, that Rafaela is going to be kind of the everyday shortstop. So that makes me feel a lot better, actually. Because then you have Rafaela at shortstop, Grissom at second base. That's a much better infield. Way better.
You get
another
righty in the lineup, too, which is nice.
Yeah, and you can just send Hamilton down to learn the sport a little more.
Please.
And then we'll have Cooper at first,
which
puts us in a much better spot than
Pablo Reyes at first, for sure.
Pablo Reyes, yeah.
I like that infield. It's not what you drew up.
As to why the Cubs DFA'd Cooper, because in 12 games this year, he had a 115 OPS plus. And for his career, he's a 109 OPS plus. So, like, he's an above average hitter for his career. He hits lefties a lot better than he does righties. So, I guess maybe that had something to play into it. But I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting DFAing. But
Garrett Cooper was a free agent this offseason. He was a guy that I wanted the Red Sox to sign, like, big time. So the fact that we get him now in this way is huge. Like, that's the guy I want replacing Tristan Casas. Especially because he hits lefties, because that's really good for a team that is lefty-heavy. A guy who can go out there and he doesn't just hit lefties, he mashes against lefties. Him and Rob Refsnyder, both up against lefties, I like that. That makes me excited for sure. So, in a way, like, you have a lot of losses in this team from injuries, but I like the way that we're starting to plug the holes.
I'm excited to see what Grissom can do as well. I know everyone's very much high on his bat. He had his first career homer at Fenway. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But he's not necessarily going to be a home run hitter. I think this guy is going to be in love with the Green Monster. I think Grissom is going to be a guy who can hit 35 plus doubles.
I was going to say he's going to be a doubles machine.
Yeah, because he's got the speed, so he can leg him out, but he's also got the pop to pull it off the wall. I'm excited for what he can possibly bring. And I feel like he's going to have quite a long leash, too. I feel like that's a good thing as well, especially this year. As long as he stays healthy, he should play every day. No question about it.
I also like his energy. He talks about how he's hungry to get up to the big league club and start producing and showing Red Sox fans what he's made of. Different analysts have talked about his work ethic and how he's going to be a guy who cares a lot and works hard. And that's all you want, really, from a player. It's the Dustin Majoria type player. It fits as he's a second baseman, too. The player that first guy in, last guy out type mentality. That's what it seems like he is. So I am very excited. He's also young, which is, it's always exciting to see young players. He's 23, born 2001, which is
got alarming. A lot of control on him too. He'll be here for 6 years. So
yeah, yeah,
get used to him. But just looking at his minors numbers for last year, the only reason he was in the minors last year was because the Braves are a super
really
team.
Good. Yep.
But in 102 games last year, he had 36 doubles. He also,
oh wow,
had 56. He had 56 walks in 102 games as well. So to that's only good. 66 strikeouts. So he's going to put the ball in play. He's going to work at bats. He's going to take his walks. He'll find that's the exciting. Gaps. Like this is why. Like you got to remember, this is who we traded Chris Sale for. So. Yeah. There should be quite a lot of upside with Vaughn Grissom. It sucks that he's coming back when half the team is dead.
Yeah, the Red Sox experience gets you. It's just, like, as we're talking about these guys, I'm starting to get, like, very excited for Red Sox baseball again. With O'Neill back and Devers back and Abreu hitting and Rafael getting 7 RBIs and Grissom returning, I'm like, let's go, Tanner Houck. And then you think about all the guys we've lost, Brian Bello and Garrett Whitlock and Trevor Story and Tristan Casas. You start thinking about what could have been. Imagine what this team could have been if you had all of those guys healthy and you didn't have this injury problem. It'd be outstanding. It'd be really fun to watch. And I guess as a Red Sox fan, I feel like we've been conditioned just to latch on to whatever we can get. And that's what it is right now. It's like you have all those guys out, but I'm latching on to the fact that we have some guys coming back and some guys that are doing fun things. And it's going to be a roller coaster. We knew that going into the season. Like, that's what the Red Sox are right now. That's what happens when you have a lot of young guys, is you're going to be riding the waves. So for right now, I'm excited. And whether that lasts to next week's episode or not, that's yet to be seen. But for right now, I'm excited to see what these new faces and old faces can do, you know?
On a positive note, I think Cora said that Bayo is going to spend the minimum amount of time on the injured list. So only,
well, we said that about
days.
Pivetta too. So
yeah, but actually Pivetta has a rehab start on Thursday.
Good. I feel so like I haven't seen him pitch in years.
We could be getting him back by next Tuesday, something like that. That would be amazing.
Sure. Yeah.
Bayo, I forget what day that they placed him on the injured list. Was that right before the Cleveland series? So you're still looking at probably next week, but
yeah.
Trevor Story injury is just so demoralizing because, like, we could the way our pitching staff is, you know, we can't actually afford the Giolito injury. Like, it doesn't kill us the way we thought it would because everyone else stepped up, but
right,
this Trevor Story injury is just brutal.
I mean, the Casas one, too. I think that one.
Yeah. I forget that Casas is dead.
Yeah. Because it was just so out of nowhere. Both of them are out of nowhere, too. It's just freak injuries that happen. It hits you because it goes out. They're out for so long. It's not like O'Neill where he's out for like 7 days a week. It's they're out just indefinitely. And that's crusher. But what can you do? Just please stop getting hurt. It seems like every series there's someone new that gets hurt. Just stop getting hurt, please.
It's just, it feels like it's so much worse this year, like the amount of injuries that there have been. It's never been like this. I know it's been the same like around the league with all the pitchers, but I feel like just the entire team, it doesn't matter what position, the whole team is going down.
Yeah. Well, the Red Sox have the most injured players in the majors, which doesn't come as a surprise at all. But
no, it goes
to show you how much it sucks. Like, we are getting the short end of the stick.
Even think about
it's
Romy
amazing
Gonzalez.
That they're still over 500 first of all. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Romy Gonzalez comes up and kind of shows that he can be a guy and do some things in his first game, and then gets hurt.
It's like what Yu Chang did last year. He comes up,
yeah,
plays good shortstop, hits a bomb, and then his wrist explodes on a swing.
Like, this injury bug does not discriminate. It gets everybody. It doesn't care how long you've been here. You've been here a day, too bad. You ain't coming back. It's crazy how it just it travels and gets everyone. I really want to stop because I want to just watch these players play. Nothing is worse than being a fan and you're watching one of your favorite players, and then 3 minutes later, his season's over. That's what happened with Story. That's terrible. There's just nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
But if you want to watch who's left, who else is healthy, then SeatGeek is my favorite place to buy tickets and should be yours too. Not only do they have fantastic deals, but they also provide you with tools to make sure you're getting great tickets. They give you a grade for each ticket price so you can be confident you're getting the best value possible. They show you the view from the seat so you can know what you're getting ahead of time. And you get the tickets right on your phone, making it all easy. With their wide selection of sports, concerts, shows, and more, SeatGeek knocks it out of the park when it comes to buying tickets. Plus, you can get $20 off your first purchase with SeatGeek by using our promo code, Dugout.
That's D-U-G-O-U-T, Dugout. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Socks. I got a fun fact for this week.
Is this actually a fun fact?
I think so. It's about David Hamilton.
So it's not, there's no way it's fun if it's about him.
So it's not fun, but it could be fun. I see where your process is at.
It's fun for us, but not fun for him.
Okay.
All right, so let's get into it.
In 2019, his junior year in college, he missed his entire season because he tore his Achilles in an electric scooter accident.
Of course.
So there you go. I was doing some stat research on David Hamilton, and then I had to stop because I stumbled upon this fact, and I said, screw the stats.
Electric scooter.
Don't let this guy drive an electric scooter.
Don't
let him play baseball either.
I'll be honest, that was a pretty fun fact.
That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you tear your Achilles on an electric scooter? They don't go that fast.
It is a great question.
That's crazy. Those weird kind of injuries are just wild to me. Like when Chris Sale fell off his bike. Like, what are we doing?
Didn't Clay Buchholz get hurt picking up his child or something?
Yeah. I'll never forget when Will Smith, the pitcher, not the actor, tore his Achilles taking off his shoe. I think about that often.
You're in the
clubhouse after a good win. You're taking off your cleat and just rip, season's over. Achilles gone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's tough.
Mm.
I got a fun story from this weekend. I feel like a lot of people across like the sport of baseball, fan wise, they kind of know the Red Sox as a prospect hub now. Like they know Marcelo Meyer. And they know maybe Sedan Rafaela and some of these younger guys. But I didn't realize how Marcelo Meyer is kind of like the face of our franchise, and he hasn't even played for the major league team yet. I'm walking around downtown, and this guy sees my Red Sox hat. And I'm in North Carolina, first of all. And the guy starts talking to me about Marcelo Meyer. And I'm like, there's no way that this guy is name-dropping Marcelo Meyer right now, like our double-A shortstop prospect. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, because my buddy's like, who is that? I'm like, oh, yeah, the number one prospect for the Red Sox. And the guy's like, yeah, but MLB only ranked him, like, 39. I'm like, how do you know this? Like, I didn't know that Marcelo Meyer's, like, the character just traveled that far and just everyone knows about him. So that's cool.
That's
not the name I would have expected.
No. Like, Rafael Devers, maybe, or Tristan Casas. And no, Marcelo Meyer, how's he doing? No, well, he's in Double A. Face
doing
of our
really
franchise.
Well in Double A, actually.
Oh, he's mashing right now, which is very fun. I am once again
you
excited for
see
Marcelo
him this
Meyer.
Year. I don't know.
Probably not, but you never
I
know.
Would like it.
Well, I'm a little kind of against that more now after the Jackson Holliday experiment, because he kind of just got called up and was the worst player ever.
No. Marcelo Meyer is different. Jackson Holliday is a Nepo baby.
Yeah, he's not even good, really.
No, definitely not. You know what? They should just DFA him or trade him to us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Pablo Reyes was just DFA'd, so you could trade him. I feel like it's a fair deal. They play the same position, mm-hmm. kind of.
Pablo Reyes's MLB average this year is six times higher than Jackson Holliday's. So you're getting a hitter that is six times better.
I mean, when you think of Pablo Reyes, that's what I think of. This guy is six times better than Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that
You can
math
get some
right? Did you just do
insane
that?
value for
And
that.
he can pitch.
Yeah, can Jackson Holliday pitch? I don't think so.
Doubt it.
You're getting a two-way player here.
He's basically Shohei Ohtani. That's what they call him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to make it known that ever since we discovered what TBD meant last week, that Bobby Dalbec now has a five-game hitting streak. Just saying.
Just saying, just putting it out there.
The Bobby Dalbec.
Bobby Dalbec.
Bobby Dalbec.
If Bobby Dalbec gets good again, the league should be shaking in their boots, terrified. Don't let Bob get hot.
And if you thought he was going anywhere, he
Nope.
is definitely not.
This guy
Maybe.
is cemented into Boston. He's not going back to Worcester. He went down to Worcester and he hit a home run. And he's like, I don't belong here. I ain't coming back, guys. And came up to the Red Sox, and now he's holding someone hostage because he's not leaving. Which is fine. He can play defense, which is, I think, very valuable on this Red Sox team. A guy who can play defense, I'll take that. I don't care if he can't hit.
Yeah, I agree. He is
Yeah.
easily our best infielder defensively at the moment. Maybe Rafael,
Yeah, I
but
was gonna say
even
Rafael might have
Rafael,
that.
Rafael's been making those rookie errors.
Yeah. He makes
But
those errors where like he dives for a ball and it bounces off his glove and then he like gets super mad at himself.
yeah.
Yeah.
Those go away with age and
Yeah.
experience. So
Yep. Anything else? Oh, yeah, we have something else. How about a series preview?
Yeah. San
Oh
Francisco.
yeah, hey.
Yeah. Hey now. San
Who's the
Francisco coming
weekend
to town.
series? The weekend series is Minnesota.
Yeah, so three game set at Fenway against the Giants. Three game set in Minnesota. Minnesota, eh? Yeah, bud.
Minnesota.
All right, tonight we got, not tonight, tomorrow night. Today's an off day. Tomorrow night, we got Andrew Bailey's pitching staff against Andrew Bailey's former pitching staff. So that's interesting. Logan Webb against Cooper Criswell. Very even matchup there. And then after that, you got TBD against Cutter Crawford. And then Harrison against Winkowski. So, Joey, keys to the series?
Keys to the series, the Giants, a lot of good pitching. Logan
Yep.
Webb, one of the best pitchers in the game. Runs are going to be very hard to come by, but I like our matchups later in the series. I like that. Cutter Crawford is going up against, well, the Giants are trying to pull a fast one, obviously, and saying we're gonna start Bobby Dalbec, but they're obviously not going to.
Right.
But you know, that first game, it's not the pitching matchup, not looking great. Although Cooper Criswell, looking for him to continue to throw the ball well. And then last game of the series, Winkowski.
Yeah.
All I have to say, yeah.
Against a lefty, though, and we got Garrett Cooper and Rob Refsnyder now.
That's
So,
true.
and
That's
Vaughn
true.
Grissom.
So I would say
Could be
keys
good.
to this series, look for Vaughn Grissom and Garrett Cooper to make an impact.
Yep.
I'm excited to see Grissom, but also runs are probably going to be at a premium this series. Going to be some low scoring games, maybe.
One thing I do want to bring this up. The last time that a team had TBD slated to go in game two, we won 17 to nothing. So, just saying, just putting that out there.
To be
The
fair,
Bobby
though,
Dalbec
the
curse.
team that slated TBD was us.
No, it was the Cubs.
I thought we were TBD that game.
No, it was TBD versus Winkowski.
Oh.
And then we faced a dude who I don't know what his name was.
I think I might have checked it a few too many days too early, and it was still TBD.
Yeah. No, it was TBD versus Winkowski. Yeah. And now we got TBD versus Cutter Crawford.
Well then let's go toss 20 on the Giants in game two.
Yeah, let's go for 21. Do three touchdowns this
Oh
time.
wait, one more thing. The Red Sox still haven't won a game in which Cutter Crawford doesn't allow a run. They're 0-3 when he allows 0 runs. So
Yeah, let's figure that
let's
one out.
try not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, that kind of helps what I'm saying in a way, because I feel like they're just going to explode one day and just score him 20. It
Good.
lines up.
They kind of need to. They're
Yeah.
due. That makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's three extra wins that
It
you just
reminds me of when
threw
the
away.
Mets just couldn't score runs for Jacob deGrom.
Yeah.
And yes, I am comparing
For an
Cutter Crawford
entire
to Jacob
season.
deGrom. Yeah.
I mean,
So,
Crawford is better than DeGrom objectively because
true.
the best ability is availability. So
True. Good
one of those
point.
guys is throwing balls right now. Well, strikes, actually.
Yeah. I'm gonna say we lose game one, win game two. This reminds me exactly of the Cubs series, because I feel like we're gonna lose game one like 4-1, just like the Cubs series, and then win game two by a lot. And then game three is questionable. It's really the same as the Cubs series. So how about I'm gonna say the same as the Cubs series. You win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I'm with that completely.
Joey?
I feel like we get 2 out of 3, but we find a way to win the Logan Webb game. And
Oh.
then, yeah,
Whoa.
I feel like Cooper keeps us in it. Criswell, that is. Maybe Garrett
Right.
Cooper gets a hit. Who knows? But I feel like everyone is slating us to lose that game. I feel like we could accidentally win that game and then just
Accidentally. Well, that would be
lose
like, I feel like the
lose the
accidental
game.
win would be like we win that game like 2-1.
Exactly. That's what
Yeah.
I'm thinking. It's going to be like a 3-1, 3-2 game, something like that, where you get maybe one or two runs off of Webb, another one off the pen, and you somehow piece together a win. I don't think we win the Winkowski game because I think we're going to have to use a lot of bullpen in
Yeah,
the
I don't
first two.
disagree with you on the last one. Last one scares me. It's just something, I feel it. Something about facing a lefty with these new lefty just crushers on the team. I feel like Rob Refsnyder's gonna hit for the cycle. Garrett Cooper's gonna go deep 4 times. Like, I feel like it's just gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a weird series where we accidentally win a game and accidentally lose a game.
Yeah, I think that checks
Yeah.
out. I also feel
Yeah.
like Logan Webb is just gonna slice us and dice us like an onion. Like, I feel like he's
Yeah,
gonna
he's
go like
nasty.
8 innings, 2 hits, 11 Ks.
It's very possible that he just does not give
Yeah.
up against us.
Yep, big time.
Yeah.
Maybe though, maybe there's some kind of like sabotage on Andrew Bailey's part. Like, maybe he like put like a
Yeah.
like an Achilles heel in him. He's like, he taught him how to pitch, but he's like, oh, it's 49 degrees out. That means you can't pitch well.
Hear me out. What if you mentioned Achilles heel?
Who gave
What
him an
if
electric
Andrew
scooter?
Bailey, yeah, Andrew Bailey seeing his old pitching staff for the first time, he's like, "Hey guys, I missed you.
Got a gift.
But I got a gift for you. You want a scooter?" And he just gives him a scooter and yeah.
Not just any scooter, the exact scooter
David
that
Hamilton
David
scooter.
Hamilton fell off of
He
in
re-gifts
college.
David Hamilton's old scooter to
Yeah.
somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that working out for us. And he like Mario Kart style just throws a banana peel at him.
It could be a difference maker. Yep.
And that once again would help Andrew Bailey's MVP resume right now.
Definitely would.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Andrew Bailey for MVP. Or president, really. That too.
Nah, we need him with the team still.
Oh, he could do both. Come on now.
That's true.
Yeah.
Cool. That twin series, I feel like it's gonna be it, I feel every time they play out in Minnesota, it's just boring.
Yeah, they're never fun to watch. It's just like, eh, yeah,
No.
we're playing baseball.
If we get
They're
Joe
almost they're
Ryan
just
in that
forgettable
series,
games.
yeah.
They're just always forgettable. It's
They're
like,
also
oh,
the
what happened game
daytime.
one? I have no idea.
Game one's
Doesn't
an
help that
8 p.m.
that's going to
game.
be on a weekend as
Yeah,
well. I
it's the
normally
weekend
tune
and
out for those weekend games.
Yeah.
the 2 p.m. the day games in Minnesota. I just they're not. There's something about them. It's like, eh. It's like watching like a high school game or like a
Know
college.
what's
Like, there's just
worse
not much
though?
happening.
Detroit.
Detroit. Yep, I knew it. I don't even watch. I don't care.
I don't watch them either.
We could be the best team in the league. I cannot watch day games in Detroit.
No, it's just
gross. Comerica Park is a dump. That little strip of dirt they have from the mound to home plate, so ugly. Get rid of that.
The batter circle is shaped like home plate.
The whole field's up. Detroit sucks.
The field's too big.
It's too big. It's the Tigers logos and jerseys are ugly. The people on the team bother me. Spencer Torkelson. I heard his name so much. I'm sick of it.
Javi Baez sucks.
Javi Baez is terrible. Kerry Carpenter has a stupid stance. That's, yeah. No, I'm out on that. So at least we're not playing Detroit. It's in Minnesota.
We're playing in Detroit in August. Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to be like 30 degrees.
In August?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It might snow.
That would be great if they just snowed out and didn't play him.
Yeah. Any predictions for the Twin series without knowing who's pitching at all?
It's going to be the inverse of whatever this series is. So if we lose 2 out of 3, we're going to win 2 out of 3. But if we win 2 out of 3, we're going to lose 2 out of 3.
I think we're going to lose 2 out of 3 to the Twins.
I agree with the inverse. You know what? That's going to suck because they're not good.
They're really not. But that's just what's going to happen. It's a team that's not that good. We're going to lose 2 out of 3.
If we have to face
one of them, we're going to get smoked.
He's going to dice us up because he owns us. He's really good.
Well, you one know of the games happen. Against
the Twins, we are getting lit up.
For sure. I agree. What's going to happen is we're going to lose 2 out of 3 to the Twins, and then we're going to sweep the Braves for sure.
Yeah.
So Red Sox. I feel like we sweep the Braves every time we play. We were Brave
killers last year.
Yeah.
We were awful last year, and we were Brave killers all season. It's crazy. Didn't we sweep them both series, home and
away?
That's
what I think, yeah.
We went 4-0 against the Braves last year.
That's the Red Sox, man. That's the Red Sox. Well, on that note, go Celtics. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
And go Sox.
Obviously.
Yep.
Cool.
That'll do it for this week on the Indigo Podcast. See you next time.